Rain. That's a great song, wasn't it? And isn't that a good song for you, Tom, as you head out to India? Just nothing like being used by God. And I remember, I think it was about 11 years ago, I went to India. And it was just a life-changing experience for me. I think it's just going to be awesome to hear what God does in your life and through you as you go. The one thing I do remember about that trip, though, was the flight over there was just like a day. I was on a plane for like 24 hours or something like that. Do you know what you're getting yourself into? Do you have an iPod that you're going to have with you to kind of take you through that experience? You do. Did you know that Joe Campbell does not have an iPod? Can you believe that? Somebody that musical and that hip doesn't have an iPod. Is there anybody else in this room that is like Joe and you've not yet experienced the greatest invention of the 21st century? You don't yet have an iPod? Wow. How many of you don't even know what an iPod is? How many of you don't want to admit that you don't know what an iPod is? Well, it is. It's the most amazing thing that has ever been invented, I think. It's a miniature jukebox, if I can kind of say it that way. What you do with an iPod is you take all the music that you have on anything else, and you can digitize it and whatever. I don't know what that means, but anyway, you put it on to this little tiny device, and then you can add any songs that you want, anything that's ever been recorded. You can buy it for about $1, and you can put it on your little jukebox, and then you can carry it around in your pocket. You have all the music that you want with you 24 hours a day. It's amazing. I have this iPod Touch. This is my iPod right here. And this is, I have to admit, not my first iPod. The first one that I got was back in 2001 when they first came out. I saw that and I thought, I got to have one of those things. And it was a first generation thing, a little scroll wheel, and I absolutely loved it. I had no idea when I bought my first iPod that I was actually being sucked into a gadget scheme where they would come out with a new version about once a year that would make it impossible to be content with what I already had. And this happened to me because like a year after I had my iPod, they came out with this little thing called, the Nano. Remember that? And here, all of a sudden, this tiny iPod seemed huge because the Nano was smaller. It was lighter. It was thinner. It was silver, you know. And I said, oh, I just have to have that Nano. That's like better than the iPod. And the problem was I didn't have enough money to buy it. So what did I do? But I sold my old iPod to my 13-year-old son. Is that the most pitiful thing you've ever heard, to like feed your habit by getting money from your own kid? And I got this Nano, and I thought, I'm content. I'll never need another music player in my whole life. And then of course, they came out with a little shuffle, which was like smaller than a Nano now. And it was about the size of a pack of chewing gum, like Juicy Fruit. You know, that's about the size that it was. The thing about this is there was no screen on it. You had to load it on your computer ahead of time. But then wherever you were, you could just push the button and you could play this playlist of songs that you already decided to play. It was kind of like having your own personal radio station. And I saw that and I said, no, I don't need that. I got a Nano. I don't need that. And my wife could just see in my eyes that I was suffering intensely. And so she got me one for my birthday. So now I had a Nano and I had a shuffle. And I don't think... I think that was when I got... You, your first iPod, honey. It was an iPod Mini, that little square pink one that she absolutely loved. It was pink, and she thought that was, you know, just an amazing thing. And it was just my way of paying you back for the shuffle that you got me. And then they came out with that iPod Photo, where you could actually load your pictures onto your iPod. And I love photography, so I thought, well, yeah, it's kind of a dual purpose. I need to have one of those. And so I shed my Nano, and I got an iPod Photo, and I thought that my life was complete until they came out with a new shuffle. The new one was smaller than the original shuffle, the size of a postage stamp. And it had a clip on it, so you could like wear it to the gym. And I thought, well, you know, I need that for working out. So I think for my next birthday, I got the shuffle. And that was all I ever would need again until they came out with a Touch. And the Touch... I mean, just the coolest thing ever. Is that like, shiny and got this big screen on it here, and I thought, well, it's nice, I like it, but I don't need it. And if it had a calendar application, then I could use it for work. But it doesn't have one, so I don't need that. And it wasn't, just a few weeks later, they came out with a calendar app, and all of a sudden, it became a work tool that I absolutely had to have. And I've been far more effective in my ministry since I've had a Touch. And then Robin thought, I need one of those too, so then we got her a Touch. And then my son, Sean, my oldest, we got him a Touch. And so we had to pass on our, I think Brian has the Nano, and Kyle now has the iPod Photo, so our whole family now has iPods, and I'm absolutely content. I don't need an iPhone, despite the fact that it now has Skyping capabilities, and I could talk to my son in California anytime I wanted to, and it's an AT&T service, and my Verizon isn't working well at my house, so, but I don't need it. I don't need it. I'm not going to buy it this week. I know it's pitiful, and I admit I'm an iPodaholic. That's just the truth of it. I am, and the thing about it is that I don't know how much money I've spent on iPods through the years, but of all the iPods that I've ever purchased, it's actually this little shuffle here that I've used the most. And you know why it is? It's because I don't have to. I can manipulate this thing without even looking at it. So when I'm driving, I can play this thing anytime I want. I know where every button is. Here's the on and off switch. I'm not even looking at it. Here's the shuffle switch right over here on the other side. Volume up right here. Volume down over here. You want to reverse a song, push this button. Go to the next song, it's this button. Here's your pause button right here. I know everything right here. I never even had to look at it. I can drive, and I can do this while I'm driving. Just manipulate it with my hand. Now, if I was to use my Touch while I was driving, this is tough. Okay, I have to turn it on. First of all, I have to slide it to unlock it. I just did that. Push the music button. Now I have to pick a song. You know, I have to go to a playlist, pick a song on that. Then I have to manipulate the volume on that. If I want to pause it, I have to hit the pause button. And I have to watch this the whole time. And then if I look away and it goes back to sleep, then I have to slide it again to get it going again. And I mean, that's actually kind of dangerous. There should be a law against iPodding while driving, I think. But a Touch, it is completely different. I can do it without ever taking my eyes off the road, and it plays the songs that I love. It plays the songs that I chose. A wonderful invention. Now, why am I talking about iPods? If you're a fellow iPod junkie, I'm sure you've enjoyed this. You've had the same journey that I've had. If you think iPods are junk, you're wondering, why is he talking about iPods? Here's the reason why. You have one inside of you. You were born with an internal iPod shuffle. Throughout your life, you have added to this internal playlist that you have thoughts and words that play randomly over and over again as you go about your business. And that playlist that you have inside of your mind is actually shaping your life. I want you to look at a verse from the Bible that talks about this. It says, be careful what you think, because your thoughts run your life. Your thoughts run your life. That's in the New Century Version. The SJV, the Steve Jobs version, might say it like this. Put the right music on your mental iPod, because it will become the soundtrack of your life. The most familiar version, or at least one of the most familiar, is the New International Version, which says this: above all else, guard your heart, for it is the wellspring of life. There's a pre-iPod era verse. Wellspring is the picture that it gives. A bubbling spring that comes up out of the ground, and it creates a river. There's something going on deep in the earth that causes this water to come up to the visible surface and to create the river. So the idea in the picture is that what's going on in our lives visibly is affected by, it's determined by, what's going on in our lives invisibly. It's what's deep inside of us that determines our behavior, our actions. Now, physiologically, we know that the place where it happens is in our brain, but this verse is talking really metaphorically. We often use the word heart like that in our own conversation. We say, what's in your heart? What is it that you're thinking deep down inside? That's what it's talking about. So when we say guard your heart, we mean be vigilant about controlling the thoughts, the words that get recorded on that playlist that shuffles through your mind over and over again. Why? Because that playlist is the wellspring of your life. It is the geyser of our thoughts that determines the river of our actions, you see. So if we're really serious about making positive and permanent changes in our life, and that's what this series is all about. We're in week 3 right now of a series called Fresh Start. And what we've been trying to do is to identify an area in our life that we really want to change and to begin to go to work on it so that by the time we're done with this series, we'll actually be different people. Well, if you want to do that, you're going to have to reload your internal shuffle. The New Testament counterpart to Proverbs 4:23 is Romans 12:2, which says, "Do not conform any longer to the pattern of this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind." How do you change? Your behavior? You change what goes on between your ears. You change the way that you think. The New Living Translation says, "Let God transform you into a new person by changing the way you think." Whatever translation you use is going to use that verb, transformed, which comes from a Greek word, metamorpho, which sounds like what? Metamorphosis. That's the idea there. See the picture that God is giving us? If you're a caterpillar who wants to become a butterfly, if you want to become better than who you are right now, the way that you do that is by changing the way that you think. It's by downloading the right music onto your mental iPod. So the question is, where do you get the music? And the answer is not on iTunes. The answer is you get it in the Bible, in the Scriptures. It is the Word of God that has the power to change your thoughts, which is to say that it has the power to change your life. Look at a couple of verses that talk about the relationship between thinking biblically and living successfully. This one, the law of God, this is talking about a righteous person's life. The law of God is in his heart, his feet do not slip. You see the relationship there? One paraphrase says, his heart pumps God's word like blood through his veins. His feet are sure as a cat's. Thinking God's thoughts helps us to make good choices. And some of you are familiar with Psalm 119:11, which says, I have hidden your word, man praying to God, I've hidden your word in my heart that I might not sin against you. So how do you protect yourself from destructive choices? Reprogram your mind with scriptural words. You see, your thoughts really do run your life. So if you have a specific goal that you want to reach, if you have a specific change that you want to make, you're going to have specific verses to hide in your heart. It's something I've been doing for as long as I've been a Christian. Before there was such a thing as iPods, which with calendar apps, I used to use a Franklin Day Planner, just this thing right here. And right now, it just feels so bulky, so huge. But it was kind of compact at the time that I was using it. And I would put passages of Scripture. I have a page right here. I have several pages, all these different colors. These are different pages with different verses of Scripture because through the years, I've dealt with different issues. And so what I've tried to do is collect verses that relate to the issues that I'm dealing with. For a long time, I struggled with a fear of death. I mean, every time I thought about dying, it just freaked me out. And so I said, I got to find some verses on that. My favorite passage is from John 11, 25 and 26, where Jesus says, I am the resurrection and the life. He who believes in me will live, even though he dies. And whoever lives and believes in me will never die. Can you see how thinking that, just replaying that quote from Jesus over and over in your mind, how that would affect the way that you feel about dying? Jesus says, you're not going to die. That's the truth that counteracts all those emotions that I have inside, you see. I have verses here on purity, about 5-6 different passages on purity, because I want my thoughts to be pure. And right at the top of the list is Job 31, verses 1 through 4. It says, I made a covenant with my eyes not to look lustfully at a girl. For what is man's lot from God above, his heritage from the Almighty on high? Is it not ruin for the wicked, and disaster for those who do wrong? Does he not see my ways and count my every step? See, if you're playing a passage like that over in your head, that's going to change the way that you think. It's going to change the choices that you make. I have a page here on selflessness. One of my favorite passages, Philippians 2, 3 through 5, it says, do nothing out of selfish ambition or vain conceit, but in humility consider others better than yourself. Each of you should look not only to your own interests, but also to the interests of others. Your attitude should be the same as that of Christ Jesus. And you have stuff like that playing around in your mind, and it changes the way that you treat people. I have pages here on worry, confidence, patience, self-control, all kinds of stuff. Why? Well, it's because my goal, my big goal in my life is to change. It's to become like Jesus Christ. I know that that's God's goal for me. That's why I exist. That's why I was saved. That's when I became a Christian, that became the ultimate goal that God had for my life, was to make me like Jesus. And so that's a transformation process that requires the renewing of my mind. That's why I do that. So the application to you, if you want to change a particular area of your life, is that you're going to have to mine this book, which is admittedly big. I mean, you know, look at all these pages in this Bible that you have, and you go, wow, somehow you have to mine this huge, you know, body of material for gems of truth that relate to the area of your life that you most want to change. How do you do that? The very best way to do it that I know is just to read your Bible every day. To make this a part of your life where you're simply reading through the Scriptures on a regular basis. And I know that it's overwhelming. You go, wow, there's so many pages in my Bible. How could I ever do that? You know how you do it? You do it one chapter at a time. That's how you do it. I read one chapter a day. This morning I was reading in, I guess it's the book of 1 Samuel. I'm kind of going through the Old Testament. It's that passage where David, after he had killed Goliath, now he's afraid of Saul and he's acting insane. That's the passage that I read this morning. And I just do a chapter a day. And some of you do more than that, I know, because inside the program that you have right now, if you look at it, inside the program, there's a Bible reading plan, daily Bible readings. So it's a few more chapters than one a day. It's not overwhelming at all. And it's something that if you just do that every day, you can get through the Bible, the whole Bible in a year. So whether it takes you a year, 2 years, 3 years, doesn't matter. Just start doing it. Just start doing it on a regular basis. You know what happens over time? Your Bible becomes a tool that you become intimately familiar with, especially if you highlight and if you take little notes and stuff like that. Because what happens over time is you start to know what the pages look like. So you go, yeah, there's a passage about that issue, about self-control. But where was that? Oh, I think it was one of Paul's letters. I think it might have been Galatians. And it was on that page that had that highlight up there in the right-hand corner. And, you know, you start to see it in your mind, and then you can find it. You go in your Bible, yeah, there it is. Even though there's thousands of pages there, you find it. For several years, right after I became a Christian, I had this one Bible that just became really my most prized possession, because I could find anything in this Bible. Until the day that it got stolen from me. I was walking on the beach. I had my briefcase, which had both my Bible and my day planner in it. And it was stolen while I was taking a walk. And I got back to my car and they were both gone. And it's like losing the two most important things in my life, my day planner and my Bible. I put up signs, you know, like people do for a lost dog. And I was like, somebody helped me find my Bible, and I never found it. And it was devastating to me, because it was such an amazing tool that I had. That's what a Bible can be if you really get familiar with it over time. And you don't have to wait till you're a veteran Christian before you can start to find these verses, because there are people all around you right now who have been a Christian for longer than you have. And you can go to that person. You can say, look, I'm trying to find this passage on like self-control. Can you help me to find a good verse that I can memorize on this? And they'll help you with that. Anytime, I'll help you with that. Your small group leader, people like that can help you. And then after you use friends and you study the Bible for yourself, you can use a concordance or a topical Bible. Now, I know that some of these terms aren't familiar to many of you, so let me just tell you what a concordance is. A concordance is basically a book that tells you where you can find every word in the Bible, okay? So in the back of my Bible, I have a lot of Bibles have this. Most Bibles have this. After Revelation, last book in the Bible, there's something called a concordance. Concordance is not the last book in the Bible. It's after Revelation, which is the last book in the Bible. Okay? The concordance is where you can find words. So let me just show you like a page from mine up here on the screen. There's anger, okay? I wanted to find a verse on anger. And so I go back to the back of my Bible and I go down to, there's Proverbs 29:11. Okay, that's what it says right in the back of my Bible on one of my pages. A fool gives full vent to his, that A stands for anger, for the word that I looked up. A fool gives full vent to his anger. So I go over to Proverbs 29:11 and I find the verse, a fool gives full vent to his anger, but a wise man keeps himself under control. You know why I know that? Because I memorized it, because I needed it. I found that verse. I memorized it. It's the most powerful verse on anger for me in the Bible. And so when I'm starting to, feel the heat come into my cheeks, I can remember that verse. A fool gives full vent to his anger. A wise man keeps himself under control. There it is. I found it because I used my concordance to find it. And so what you have to do is you have to keep looking down that list until you find a verse that just hits you across the forehead like a 2x4. That's your verse. That's the one you want to get in your heart. And even if you don't have a concordance like this in the back of your Bible, an even better one is on your computer, online. How many of you have used an online concordance before? An online Bible program. Any online Bible program will have this. Like, for instance, BibleGateway.com. Let's look at this. This is just the top half of the screen. If you go to BibleGateway.com, it's probably the most common one on the online. And you go there, and there's a thing right over on the left-hand side that says, passage lookup, so you can type the passage in. You got 30 or so English versions. You got Greek and Hebrew if you want that. Anything you want. Any language, they have a Bible there for it. Or you have a keyword search. You go, I want the word anger. Or a topical index. Self-control. Whatever it happens to be, it'll be there. You can just type in a word and all these verses will come up on your screen that'll tell you where to find it in the Bible. Isn't that great? Instantly at your fingertips. Another one is youversion.com. My son says this is his favorite one. Somebody else, go back. We're not there yet. Oh, you're going ahead, Lara. You're working ahead of me here. There you go. That's the one I want. Blue. What was it, Ted? Blue Letter Bible. Okay. There's so many of them, and you can just find them all over the place. Just type in Bible, and you can find it there. So that's a concordance. You can even take it a step further. And let's go ahead and go to that slide, Lara, because this is where it talks about this. See, there's Proverbs 29:11. I looked it up in my Bible. A fool gives full vent to his anger. Wise man keeps himself under control. And I go, I like that one, but I want to see what else there is. And so then I go over to something called cross-references. And again, most Bibles have these. And the way you know is, if you're reading on your Bible, maybe it's two columns, and in the center there's like a little skinny column and has all these little tiny verses there. Or maybe if you have a single column, it's over on the right-hand side. And they're just extra verses. And you go, what's that all about? Well, those are verses that relate to the verses that you're reading. So I'm reading 29:11, and I go, what else is there? And I trip over this, aren't I, before this is over. I see one of them there. See, it says Proverbs right over here in the column. Little tiny verse. Proverbs 12:16 and also Proverbs 19:11. So if I turn over to Proverbs 19:11, I get to a verse that says, a man's wisdom gives him patience. It is his glory to overlook an offense, which is a great verse on anger. Even though it doesn't use the word anger, you see? I didn't have to find the word. But it's the topic. And it's right there in your Bible. The tool is right there for you. I'm just trying to illustrate for you that there are so many different ways to find what you're looking for, to find these passages that you want to put on your mental soundtrack. And really, better than telling you about it is to have you do it. So I thought it'd be kind of fun today so that you didn't have to go to church and say, well, he talked about a lot, but we didn't do anything. Why don't we do it? Let's take a little bit of time right now. We can do this right here because this school has a Wi-Fi network. So if you brought your computer or you have any kind of a device that connects to the internet, you got an iPod, an iPad, you got a blueberry, Blackberry, blueberry, strawberry, whatever you've got, you can use that right now. Some of you are already back there on the tables using your computers. And I'm gonna give you a chance to do it right now. What I want you to do is I want you to think about that one area of your life that you most want to change. Try to come up with a word that applies to that area, and then try to find that word in the Bible, okay? So you can use a computer. You can use the Bible that you have if you have a concordance in the back or if you have cross-references, anything like that. You can use that, okay? Yeah, kids, there's a special kids table. Kim's sitting at it right back there in the back. You can go back there and go to her. If you're willing to share your computer with somebody else, you can go to the round tables back here, and somebody else can kind of log on with you. Or if you want to help people find passages, you want to come up here, just if you're just ready to say, well, I'd be like to help some other people find their stuff. So come up here with your Bible or with your computer. And what we'll do is just take, 5, 6, 7 minutes right now, and we're all going to try to find passages that we need. You don't have to leave your seat. I'm also going to loop some verses up here on the screen. So if you just want to watch for something you might come across, you know, you just get lucky and come across a verse that relates to what your issue is. The thing is, you're more likely to get lucky if you work really hard. So let's use this time. Let's just use these little few minutes here and work really hard at trying to find something. There are 3x5 cards on all these tables back here. You can write it down on the card. Stick it on your refrigerator during the week, okay? So I'll tell you when we're done. Why don't you stand up with me right now? And in about 5 to 7 minutes, go ahead, everybody stand up. And in 5 to 7 minutes, I'm going to tell you when we're done. And please, don't leave. I got more to say, just a little bit more after this. So I hope you won't use this time to run out the back door. But if you want to sit right back down, you're welcome to do that. Or if you want to just mingle around and find your resources, go ahead and do that right now. Okay, let's go. Guys, can we put the house lights up, please? Appreciate that. in 1 minute. How many of you found something this morning that you can take with you? Okay? I know some of you did. That's good. And some of you just looked at me like, you're going to make me do what in church? And you're like, well, I've just never done anything like this before. And that's okay, because what we're really trying to do is just give you a feel for what you would do when you go home, or, you know, when you spend time with God on your own. And so hopefully it's helped with that. And I know that a lot of you still have some work to do in terms of finding the verses that are right for you. But I really hope... you know, the scripture says to be doers of God's word and not hearers only. So hopefully it's not asking too much if you really want change in your life to find one passage of scripture that you can begin to memorize. And by memorize, you understand what I mean. I mean that you need to keep saying it out loud until you don't have to see it to say it, until you can do with the verse kind of what I was doing with my shuffle a little bit earlier, where you can kind of, it's in your mind. You don't have to read it anymore. What I said I want to say a little bit more about this subject, and this is really critically important. It's not going to take me as long to say it, but it is crucially important, and that is that if you want the Word of God to change your life, memorization is only the first step, and the second part of it is what the Bible calls meditation. Okay? From memorization to meditation. That's the verb that the Bible uses to describe the mind-renewing process. I want you to look up here at Joshua 1:8, a passage from the Old Testament. It says, "Do not let this book of the law," it's talking about Scripture, "don't let this book of the law depart from your mouth. Meditate on it day and night, so that you may be careful to do everything written in it. Then you will be prosperous and successful." Do you see the progression in that passage? Starts with meditation on Scripture, which leads to what? Obedience, which results in what? Prosperity and success. Or taking it backwards, if you want to be prosperous, you want to be successful in your life, you're going to have to obey Scripture. And if you want to obey Scripture, it begins with the way that you think, meditating on Scripture. Question is, what does it mean to meditate on Scripture? Well, notice the first phrase in this passage. It says, "Do not let this book of the law depart from your" what? From your mouth. Now, why does it say that? From your mouth, in a passage that's talking about what's really going on in your heart. The reason why is because, and this is critical to get this, don't miss this, meditation is a verbal activity. Most of us, when we think of meditation, we think it's a silent mental process that we are going through. But there are two different Hebrew words in the Bible for meditation, and both of them have as their primary meaning to speak. Just to speak out loud. Well, who are we supposed to speak God's word to out loud? Ourselves, primarily. It is speaking God's word out loud to ourselves that imprints it on our heart. It is speaking God's word over the background noise of our old thought patterns that erases those patterns and gives us a brand new mental soundtrack. That's why Joshua 1:8 says, "Do not let this book of the law depart from your mouth." It's also why other passages of Scripture talk about the power of the spoken word of God. For instance, in Matthew 4, when Jesus was being tempted in the wilderness by the devil, how did he fight the devil off? Three different times he said, "It is written," and then he quoted passages of Scripture to the devil. out loud. Jesus did. Jesus did not think in his mind, it's written. Where's that written? Oh, I got that verse. He said, it is written, and then he said it. He spoke it. That's the way he fought off the devil. And then you go over to Ephesians chapter 6, and you see the Apostle Paul telling us to take our stand against the devil's schemes. And one of the things he says to us is to use the sword of the Spirit, which is the Word of God. Now, what you won't see if you read that in English is that in Greek, the original language, that passage, that word for word is not the written Word of God. It's not saying the sword of the Spirit is just to have this book, to read it. Boy, the devil's fighting me, and so I got to read this. I got to read Scripture. No, it's the aptly spoken Word of God. That's what the word means. It means to say out loud the verse that relates to the challenge that you're facing. So the devil's coming at you in a certain area of your life. The way to fight him off is to say, it is written, bang, you say it out loud, and that's the sword. That's your offensive weapon against the devil. It's not just about thinking, it's about speaking. You can't think your way into a renewed mind. You have to speak to your heart the words that you want there. That's what imprints it on your heart. You speak those words out loud before you come to the point of decision. You speak those words out loud at the point of decision. And that's going to influence your decisions, whether or not you obey God, which ultimately will determine the course of your life, whether you're going to be prosperous and successful. So again, homework assignment, what? One passage that relates to your struggle. And that by the time we come together next week, you won't have to look it up in your Bible because you'll actually know it. It'll actually be imprinted on your heart. That will lead to a change in your life. It will. Now I know that not everybody here is a Christian yet, so maybe it's kind of weird for you. You're going, I never even opened a Bible before. This is strange to me. But the same thing is true. The Word of God has power in your life as well. And maybe I could just suggest a passage for you to memorize and to meditate on. It's Jeremiah 29:13. It says, this is God speaking to you. He says, you will seek me and find me when you seek me with all your heart. That's what God says to you. It's a promise that he gives us that if you look for me, you will find me. And those of us who have found God know that at the end of your search will be the face of Jesus Christ, the Son of God, who died on a cross for your sins and rose from the dead. So our prayer for you is that you'll continue to seek God until you find him in the person of Jesus. Let's stand. And let's pray. Lord, thank you for teaching us today what we need to do to change our lives. And our prayer is that you'll help us to go from here actually living our life differently. We pray that the way that we use our Bibles during this week will be different because of the time we've invested today. Thank you that you care so much that our lives are changed, that Jesus died to change our lives. And we look forward to coming back together a week from now, being a little bit more like Jesus than we were when we came today. In his name we pray. Amen. Have a great week.